Something you might be surprised to find in Napa Valley is a tasting room representing wines made in Sonoma. But that is exactly what Patson Hall is all about. This isn't the first time Napa and Sonoma have crossed over in the wine business, but the bottom line is the end result: excellent Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. Heather Pat spends some time with us in February of this year at the comfortable and homey tasting room located in a business park at the south end of Napa Valley. I'm here with Heather Patz of Patson Hall at their tasting room in the southern end of Napa Valley. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks for being here with
Absolutely.
Me today.
Absolutely.
Let's go all the way back to the beginning. Tell me about where Patson Hall came from. How did everything start?
Well, it is a little bit of a ways back, and when I tell the story, I can't believe it's that long, actually. I start to feel a little bit old, but 88 was our first vintage of Patson Hall. Donald Patz and James Hall, who are our partners, were both working at Flora Springs up in St. Helena. And James was the assistant winemaker, and Donald, it was his first job in marketing and sales. Ann Moses is our other partner, and she worked for Farniente and Spring Mountain Winery, and so she had a background in production. But the four of us would get together in 1988, and we would taste a lot of wines together and really loved the Burgundian style wines. The white Burgundies is the wine that I particularly fell in love with. Obviously, a lot of people do, I guess. But so we started making just a small amount of Napa Valley Chardonnay in 1988. It was about 300 cases. And the four of us, so it's basically two couples, had other jobs for the first 10 years of our career in Patson Hall. But it started with a vision and a passion of a particular style wine that we really wanted to make. We really wanted to make small lots, very specific to location, so the grapes would really kind of dictate what the wine would be. So that's kind of where it started. We did Napa Valley Chardonnay for about 7 years, and then we bought some fruit from Larry Hyde in Carneros and started making a single vineyard Chardonnay. We ventured into Pinot Noir in 1995, and we're coming up to our 24th harvest, which is hard to believe. We're making about 7 Chardonnays and about 9 Pinot Noirs.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
wow.
a lot.
Yeah.
And it's taking time. Really, the key to our company has been our relationships with the growers. We purchase all our fruit, and we have since day one. James and Ann do have a small Pinot Noir vineyard around their home, which we bottled for the first time in 2009, this vintage.
Is that kind of a private thing?
It's for club members. Mm. It's about 100 cases. It's called Moses Hall, because Ann's last name is Moses, and James's last name is Hall, obviously. So that's been kind of fun. But all the Chardonnays and then all the Pinots are all made in a very similar manner. So there aren't a lot of variables. There may be a little bit difference in the percentage of new oak, or maybe how we use the yeast, or if it's wild yeast. But basically, when you're tasting these Chardonnays side by side or the Pinot side by side, you can really taste and feel and experience kind of the differences of the wine because of where the grapes come from.
Hmm.
But going back to the growers, because that's the part that really is key to our company, some of these growers we've been working with for 19 years, and it's a really close relationship. We put their name or the name of their vineyard on the label. We work really closely as far as how the vineyard's farmed, when we harvest. We've actually had some vineyards planted specifically for us, which has been a real honor. It didn't start out that way, however. There was a lot of no's first. I'd like to tell the story about dialing for grapes.
Is that what I think you mean?
Yes. Wow. There's a purple book. It lists all the vineyards, all the vineyard owners in Sonoma County and who they sell to. And so we would taste wine from specific areas or specific vineyard sites and get to know some of the growers. And the story I tell is that Donald would go through the book and he'd call these growers and say, you know, we're Patson Hall and we'd really be interested in buying some of your fruit. What do you think? And oftentimes they would kind of just like, who are you? I don't think so. So it took, in some cases, 2 or 3 years before we got a yes to some vineyards. And then once we got into a vineyard site, like Larry Hyde's vineyard, It took another several years to move up and into the section of the vineyard that we really, really wanted to be at.
Wow. So you've really got a process going. And part of it's persistence. And then the next thing is patience, right?
Patience and relationship. I mean, these are people that really, I think, love working with us, and we love working with them. I have kind of the same philosophy on what it takes to grow, you know, the grapes. And of course, you have to treat them well by paying them really, really well for their fruit. And then we're also helping to promote their vineyard by putting the name on the label as well.
Vineyard designated wine, that's the focus of what you're doing.
That is the focus of what we do. We are known for making just two varietals, Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, from some of the best single vineyard sites in Northern California. And it's taken time to get to that point. The winemaking that James does is, just wonderful. I mean, he's a very talented winemaker and very conscientious about, you know, every step of the way. So that is part of the mix as well.
Now, the space we're in, and this is your tasting salon, is in your corporate offices, I believe you'd said.
Yes.
But obviously you're not doing crush here, or
no.
Are you? Not a traditional tasting room, but every bit as comfortable when you walk in, which makes it kind of nice. It's on Napa Valley Corporate Way. But you're actually making a wine elsewhere.
That's correct. We've always done things a little bit differently. When the two couples started in 1988, we really didn't have resources to buy a vineyard or buy a winery. We just had this vision of the style wine we wanted to make. So we made our wine for about 19 years at Honig Cellars in Rutherford. And James Hall, our partner, was the winemaker there for, I think, about 11 years. And so it's just been the last 3 years that we have our own facility. It's over in Sonoma on 8th Street East, and it's a winery production facility situation. But it's all ours. Brought tears to my eyes when I saw the cement being poured.
But
that's where we make our wine now. So we have all our tanks and barrels and presses, and we have our release parties over there and do some different events there.
So it's interesting, you're doing your releases in Sonoma. That's got to be kind of different because you're considered a Napa Valley brand, right?
That's right. Well, that's where we started. Right now, we're a Sonoma winery. We buy all our fruit from Sonoma and Russian River.
Then that's my mistake. Okay.
Yeah. And we buy fruit as far north as Mendocino and as far south as Monterey County.
Mm-hmm. It's just an interesting contrast to have your tasting room here
it
in
is.
Napa Valley. You know,
yeah.
Not very far away from the guy in the press. You know,
that's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, the concept for the salon came in that for many, many years we worked out of our homes. So when we would have distributors or salespeople or sometimes chef friends in town, we would have them over to our house for dinner, and we would sit around the table and we would taste through the wines and tell the story of the wines and the vineyards and, you know, just sit around and have good food and good wine. And so when we opened this place, it was our very first time to have anything available to consumers. And so we wanted to kind of integrate that same concept. So when people come in, we want them to feel very welcome, like they're coming into a home, although this home environment is much nicer than mine, but I like it.
Yeah.
I'm here a lot.
Yeah, I bet you are.
But then we'll sit down around this table and we'll pour three Chardonnays side by side and three Pinot Noirs side by side, and we have little food compliments to go with the different wines. And this way you can kind of compare and contrast the Chardonnays and compare and contrast the Pinots at your leisure and have fun. And something about being around a table with food and wine and people is magic. And it's just amazing the connections you see happen with people. And people know people's friends. And it's pretty amazing thing.
That's a great quote when you say that, sitting around the table is magic.
Yeah.
That's true, because that's what it is about wine, isn't it? It's
it
about
is.
People.
Yeah. And, the more time you spend, sipping the wine and relaxing and talking and having conversation, more and more comes out and people become less guarded. And it's, of course, you know, there's some alcohol involved in there too, but we pour slight pours. But it's really been really fun for me because I love people, and it's been wonderful to be in this business, to have a product where you can kind of enhance people's lives and give back. We give, to a lot of charity events and things
nice.
Like that is what I do.
Now, are you solely doing the tasting room yourself, or do you switch duties around? Or
I am primarily involved with the consumer side, so I do charity outreach, pourings at different hotels, resorts, restaurants. But here in the salon, yes, I'm here most of the time. There's Courtney Wilson, who's our hospitality manager, so she's here as well. And Mark Hun, who is our wine educator, a really nice young man. So the three of us are the ones that are in the salon doing the tastings. We're open 5 days a week now for drop-in. Actually, when we first opened the salon, all we did was scheduled seated tastings. But now people can stop in between 10 and 4 and sit at the bar, and we'll, you know, pour wine there as well.
It's like a big living room is what it is. And you were talking about this table expands to take how many people?
10 people. So it's really pretty when you have six pieces of glassware for 10 people. It's full of glass, you know, and a lot of wine and food. So it's really, it's pretty and it's fun.
And in the back room are like 100,000 glass washers back
there.
That's
right. Yeah. You have to buff them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
That's the thing people don't appreciate is all the work that goes into a tasting room, the prep. I mean, I'm looking at what you have here. You have a number of wines as well as some food to munch on, but it is an effort from beginning to end.
Yes.
The one thing I like the most, though, is the hospitality. You come here, you always feel very welcome. That's got to be a lot of fun.
That's
for
good.
You.
That's good. It is a lot of fun. And you were talking about when you drive into our parking lot, it's like you're driving into a corporate office area. And so when people open that door, they kind of, they're, I think, a little bit, well, surprised at first. They're kind of looking around and trying to figure out, why are you here and where are we and where are the vineyards? And so it takes a little while to kind of explain the story behind Patson Hall and why we do what we do. But most people just thoroughly enjoy the experience. And we do want to be very hospitable, and we want people to feel welcome and to enjoy the wines and to kind of experience them for themselves as well. It's just getting them in front of them to try them, and most people are fall in love with them.
Well, I'll bet.
Yeah.
In this kind of an atmosphere, being in a corporate center, are the rules a little bit easier? I know right now, well, for a number of years, opening a tasting room is not an easy thing to do in Napa Valley. So is it a little bit, I don't know if I want to say easy, because I don't think anything is easy about opening a tasting room, but a little different?
Well, you do have to, you know, work with the city and the county, but this wasn't so hard. It seemed to, you know, work out fine for us to open this. We are kind of considering, I mean, we're just kind of doing some experimental research about if we did open a tasting room like downtown Napa or on the square. It seems to be much more accessible for people, and, you know, it seems more common these days that they have their storefront tasting rooms.
Seems to be a move to that.
It does.
Yeah.
And I think people like to walk, you know, going out to the vineyards and some of the big wineries on the hills like Chapelet and Terran Valentine and things like that are beautiful, and but they take time, and so people maybe want to do one or two of those and then be able to stay locally and eat at the restaurants and walk around and go to the tasting rooms. So yeah, if we could bring the experience, you know, so it's a little easier for people to get to, I think we might do that.
I think the city of Napa has become much more comfortable to walk around in.
Yes.
Because they've done a lot of improvements, especially along the river, and a number of restaurants have opened up. So yeah, that would sort of make a lot of sense. The wines themselves, which we should talk about here.
Okay.
We did briefly for a moment there. How wide of a range are we looking at? I'm guessing with making so many, you've got a fairly broad price range.
Price range, yes. The lower price range is 38 for the Chardonnay, 42 for the Pinot. And then we go as high with the Chardonnay as 60. And then the highest priced Pinot that we have is 80.
Still very reasonably priced.
Yes. There's a lot of effort, a lot of hand work goes into these wines. And some of them are pretty small quantity because we buy from these small family vineyards. And we usually get a small section of the vineyard. So there's one vineyard, Jenkins Ranch. It's 18 acres. And we get a third of that vineyard. Oh. So we consistently get the same section every year, so we don't always get more fruit. So our quantity can be anywhere from 100 cases up to, you know, a couple thousand cases, depending on which wine it is.
So after last year's growing season, and I'm assuming you have some influence in the vineyards, obviously.
Yes.
I thought things were going to be normal this year, but here we are in February. There's talk of snow here, actually, in the valley. What do you think you're looking at in terms of this particular growing season for 11?
Well, they're still kind of in this dormant stage. They just have done a lot of pruning. So bud break is supposed to be taking place in another month and a half or month. And so if we can get through the frost and the freeze before bud break, we'll be okay. You know, as far as I know, it's not damaging them right now because they're still kind of in that dormant stage. But it could delay bud break. It could cause the vintage, you know, to be delayed again like it was in 2010. So it might be moved out a little bit farther.
Hmm. Which also brings me a question I wanted to ask you before. What is your overall output?
It's 25,000 cases, and it's made up primarily of three wines. We do one cuvée or blend of Sonoma Coast Pinot, one blend of Sonoma Coast Chardonnay, and then our Dutton Ranch Chardonnay. So those three wines make up the majority of that production. And like I was mentioning before, the others are anywhere from, you know, 100 cases up to, you know, 800 cases. So, and that's what's fun when people come here to the salon is they get to taste some of these smaller quantity wines. And
That becomes wine club type wine, as you're saying.
Some of them do, yeah. And then some, you know, are maybe just a little bit bigger than wine club wines, and we can sell here in the salon and then at some of the finer restaurants around the country and the world.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question that I've asked just about everybody at one time or another.
Okay.
And it relates probably more heavily to the Chardonnay. Okay. Do you have any opinions on corks versus caps?
I still like the corks. I have nothing against screw caps at all. I mean, especially for, you know, maybe some Sauvignon Blancs or Pinot Blancs or, you know, some of those rosés type things. I actually opened one the other night at home that was a screw cap. And I actually kind of like that to do it. But I think for our wines, the traditional winemaking techniques we use, everything is fairly traditional. And the corks, you know, really do add something to the wine. You know, it's not only just the ambiance of opening the cork and smelling the cork and seeing the cork, but it also helps our wines to age over time, I believe. I believe that, you know, that slowly integration of the oxygen into the wine really makes a difference for the aging. And I just tasted a 9-year-old, 10-year-old, and a 10-year-old Chardonnay from Patson Hall, and they were like little gems. They're just amazing wines, and I'm not so sure you could get that with a screw cap. But I know there's a lot of debate on it. So
not likely in the future you're going to be heading that, even with your Chardonnay, you wouldn't be going that direction.
I don't think so.
Now, to further that particular conversation, I was at a dinner last night. We started talking quite a bit about the glass cork.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, the little stopper, O-ring.
Exactly.
Kind of thing.
Any
thoughts
on that particular?
I don't know that much about it, to tell you the truth. I've had a few bottles with it, and I like, you know, it's a gadget. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and it does look kind of sexy.
Yes.
That's part of the thing with the cork. A cork is very sexy, but, you know, a screw cap for me isn't.
Yeah.
But this glass is interesting, and I'm going to talk more with winemakers about that.
Uh-huh.
But again, that's something you're not necessarily investigating then.
Not right now. Okay. I mean, we're always, you know, our philosophy is always to look to see what makes the wine the best wine we can make. Most winemakers are that way. And so if it comes to the point where we look at that and see that it really is going to, you know, continue to make the wine the best wine it can be, or it's going to enhance it some way or whatever, definitely we'll look at it. We're not closed-minded at all at looking at new things. But at this point, you know, the program has actually been really pretty successful with what we've been doing.
Not closed-minded on closures. There's a T-shirt.
There you go.
Sorry, it popped into my head.
You're going to start a new movement here.
Yeah. Oh, God. What about distribution? Where can our listeners find your wine?
You can find our wine on our website, www.patshall.com.
So the end is left out of it.
Yeah, that's right. It's PATZHALL.com. So you can do that. You can call us. Rosie is great here at our office. I'm here. Courtney's here. Our phone number is 707-265-7700. And you might dial extension 113. That's Rosie. She handles a lot of the orders, and she's great. Tell her hi if you call.
You got to love somebody named Rosie taking
that's
that call.
Right.
That's absolutely perfect.
Yeah, exactly. And then we actually started the company just doing wholesale distribution. So that was really our fundamental base for us. So we are distributed in all states. We do some export with some of the bigger production wines we do. So we are in some of the finer restaurants and retail shops. And so, you know, if anybody had any questions about a particular wine in their area, they can always call us and we could hopefully lead them to where they might be able to find it as well.
And that's like extended hospitality. It's important for our listeners to know that if they have a question,
yes,
they can call you. That's a great thing to say.
Yeah, we'd love them to call us. So, you know, we don't get enough calls. So,
well, here's everybody's chance. Give them a call.
There you go.
So did you have that epiphany? Did you have that moment sometime in your life where you were like, yeah.
Yes. Most people have a wine story.
Tell me it. I want to hear that.
Well, it was in Eugene, Oregon, and Donald Patz and I had just joined Les Amis de Vannes, which is a national organization for wine enthusiasts. And I didn't really know anything about wines. We were at this one dinner, and somebody brought a Romani Conte Latoche Vineyard Red Burgundy. And, of course, you know, it's a supposed to be fabulous wine. And so that's what opened my eyes to wine. I couldn't get over how it smelled, how it made me feel, the experience, you know, of drinking this wine. It was 69, which is supposed to be great. I don't think I could afford to buy one now. But anyway, it was, yes, it was that wine. I kept smelling it and I kept thinking, if this is what wine is about, this is a wonderful thing. So, yes, that was the moment. And ever since then, there's been many moments. I mean, wine brings some wonderful events and moments into your life, yeah.
And that's comes back to what we were talking about when I first came in. It's the whole idea is it's about people, about,
yes,
about those events,
mm-hmm,
and not about being afraid of wine.
That's right. I love that. People should not be afraid of wine at all. They should embrace it. Everyone experiences it differently and ask any questions. This is what I want people to feel comfortable about is you can ask anything, you can feel anything, you can, you know, whatever you want around wine, it's yours.
The only way you're going to learn is by asking.
That's right.
That's why they should give you a call.
Yes, exactly. I'm really thankful, you know, to be in the wine business and working with the people we do. I grew up in a family that didn't drink wine at all. I grew up in Eugene, Oregon, and never would have imagined being in this industry. So it's been kind of a dream come true, I think, for me, but also for my other three partners. And so we're very thankful, and we do want to be very hospitable and give back and help in any way we can for people to enjoy our wines.
Heather, thank you very much for taking the time. I know it's early.
Yes.
And this is really great coming by and meeting you.
Oh, it's been fabulous meeting you too. Thank you.
Find Pats and Hall on the web at patshall.com.